What's up, everybody? Armand here, back with another episode. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I kind of wanted to, for fun, and so that the listeners could get to know me, just talk about, go through the everything I go through the show with guests, but just with myself. So for everyone listening, the show structure is just we talk about the guests' ventures, and then whatever habits they have, and the hobbies they like to do for fun. And I thought it'd be fun to talk about that for myself, and kind of why I started this podcast in the first place, besides the fact that I really like talking. I really just wanted to talk to entrepreneurs. I wanted to build a network, but then also talk about what they do for fun. I can even tell the story of how it started. Without spoiling a little too much of the episode, let's cue the intro music.
Work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard.
All right, so if you didn't know, I don't really script those intros. I jot down notes. That's a lie. I do jot down notes for all the guests whenever I'm doing it, but I try to keep it as off the top as I can, so it's very minimal notes, and I can just talk off the cuff, and that's kind of what I enjoy doing. I feel a lot less pressure doing that, and it just sounds more real and more human. So in this case, while I'm talking about the show, I'm going to be all over the place because I'm not really structuring it based on, like, I have to answer this question, I have to answer that question. And I think that's a really big part of why a lot of guests have said they like coming on the show, is they say it's a lot more conversational than the normal podcast. And I mean, that's like a by design. That's something I've really tried doing, is I didn't want to just list out a whole bunch of questions. I noticed in the very beginning, that's what I used to do. And there was just so much pressure to answer and get through all these questions, but at the same time I was so fascinated at what other people had to say and like what kind of like where the conversation would lead to, that I almost would have rather just go with the flow than anything else. And I'm a big fan of the Armchair Expert podcast. I think Dax Shepard does a really good job of this, and he went on another podcast where he shared this tip to his friends over at the Smart List podcast. He said, prepare for if the person is going to be a dud, you can walk them through the episode and it's still entertaining. But if you get the green light that they can run, let them go and run with it. And ever since I read that quote, I was like, wow, that's so true. I do prep for the episode so that I have stuff to say for people, but I have a whole bunch of questions for each section, but I don't really get to them unless I don't know what to say. And I'm really curious if you guys can tell when I'm like, I don't know what to say, time to ask one of these canned questions. But that does happen, yes. And I do, I do get to those points. In the episode prep, I have a whole sheet to prep for episodes, but the biggest, boldest in red, I have this writing that says, hit record on Riverside, because that's something that I don't want happening halfway through an episode. Anyways, so to talk about, I guess, first of all, why I'm doing this podcast. So I really think it boils down to my dad is an entrepreneur. My dad founded a company in one of the most stressful times you could have possibly founded a company. And that's when two of your three kids are in expensive ass colleges. And he started a company, left his job, and it was a very, very, I could see it was a very stressful time on him, and he never really knew. Long story short, there was this one time where he had to use, I think it was my brother's like scholarship check to pay payroll for the company, and then give back the check to my brother like a few days later when they got the bill from some other company they were waiting money on, but they weren't going to get in time. That story is actually in the Carlos Fry episode, if you want to hear. I can throw that in the show notes. But yeah, it's a very stressful time. There's so much that goes on. There's so much just intenseness to the role of entrepreneur. And it's always fascinating to me, like, how do people who do this for a long period of time, how do they not burn out? A lot of them do, but like, how do you handle that kind of stress over a prolonged period of time? And I really narrowed it down to habits and hobbies. Like, that's it. There's no other way to it. It's the type of habits you live your life, whether it be your eating habits, whether it be your life habits, kind of your exercise habits. That's a really important one. And then your outlets, like what you do for fun, what you do to turn your mind off of work. Because the people who burn out, and I've heard this time and time again in all my interviews from, I'm at 43 interviews, and I've had so many people say, well, I did burn out, and that's why I'm an entrepreneur. That's why I started their current business, is because they didn't like what they were doing in the past. And it just stemmed from working so hard and not having a life outside of work, which was super impactful to me. And I just wanted to hear how people do it. Like, I mean, a lot of this is for me as well. I love talking to people. I didn't really expect to start gaining a listener base. And to me, it was more, I was curious and I just wanted to share that learning with others. So hearing what people had to say has been super inspiring. It's been really helpful for my career. I've definitely took more time to kind of carve out my habits and carve out what I like to do for fun. But more on that later in the show. For now, we can talk about what I'm working on. So when I first started the show, I was actually working on starting a company with a friend of mine. It was a cybersecurity company, two-sided marketplace for cybersecurity vendors and for IT, people who would buy those services, consultancies. And it was, that was like almost a year ago. It was quite a trip. It was a lot of fun. It was tons of fun starting a company with a good friend of mine. He actually helped me a lot starting at the podcast. He has a really good podcast. And it was something that I didn't see myself doing long term. So I told him, hey, I'm not doing this. I believe he's still doing it, which is pretty awesome. I was in such a different place. The questions I asked, the things I was looking for were so different because I was trying to start this two-sided marketplace and I felt like I had no idea what I was doing most of the time, which is pretty common. So that's not a scary thing for entrepreneurs. From what I've heard, it's a pretty common feeling from adults in general. So I was starting this company and then when I left, I had this really weird kind of mini existential crisis of like, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. This is what I studied in college. This is what I want to do. Like, I'm not currently starting a company. Like, why? What am I? I have a podcast where I talk to entrepreneurs and I'm saying I'm an entrepreneur, but like, I'm not doing any of that. And it just felt so weird. It felt so like, almost like I was kind of being phony about it. And I mean, I work at a startup in which I was one of the first employees way back when as an intern. I came in, worked another job for like 2 years, came back. Now we've grown to like 50, 60 employees. It's been tons of fun. There are three founders of this company. I've had one, scheduled one, and the third is going to be a very special episode. We're going to talk about that much later. Probably for episode 52, I want that to be the 1 year. But anyways, I mean, I've just always been in startups. I've always been in entrepreneurship and I wanted to do it. And then I just felt like I wasn't. And I felt it was just weird. I can't even explain to it. It's like imposter syndrome about not like I felt imposter a little impostery when I was starting the company. And then when I wasn't, I felt impostery that I was even like having a podcast for entrepreneur. It was just weird. But nonetheless, I loved so much talking to all these people. There's no way that I could possibly stop. And there was also no way that I was not going to, you know, start something on the side eventually. Like, it was just always in me. It just happened that this, you know, project with a friend didn't work out, didn't pan out for me. But as I've been working, I have been starting something else on the side, which has been really exciting. So aside from, you know, doing the podcast, getting some money there, aside from, well, one of my hobbies actually does make me money, which is pretty sweet. Aside from those two things, I am actually writing a book right now. And what I plan to do is use that book and turn it into a coaching business, which is pretty exciting for me. This is something I'll definitely be doing on the side. I love my job. I want to keep doing that. But Yeah, I'm writing a book on active listening. After all these interviews I've done, after all my time cold calling, God, learning that skill and just being a chatty Cathy my whole life to strange. I'm the type of person who would just like sit next to someone on an Uber ride or on an airplane, I guess, talk to the Uber driver, or on an airplane, and I'll just talk to anyone about anything. And I've had some pretty nuts conversations. I sat next to this one Navy SEAL on an airplane who we were both talking, and he turned out to be like, now he runs a VC fund, which is pretty nuts. I see him on LinkedIn occasionally. And throughout San Diego, I've met a whole bunch of people that know him and one of the companies he started. It's pretty awesome. I've seen, once I was in an Uber ride and the dude was talking to me, he used to be in like the Venezuelan bomb squad. And this dude definitely killed people. It was gnarly. You could just see it in his eyes. And he was just so, I mean, he hardly spoke English. He was driving Uber because he couldn't get his, like, he wanted to do physical security in the US, but he can't get his certification because he doesn't know English. And I just like talking to, in Greece, oh my God, in Greece, I don't even know if I can talk about this, but in Greece, I met some dude who was declared legally dead by the US. He's definitely running away. And yeah, no, I just like talk to anyone and everyone. And like this, when I say talk, the real secret is listening. That's the sauce. Like that's how you find out all these really cool conversations or like what people are about. If you're just talking about yourself, you're not really going to learn anything new because you're talking about you. You got to talk and listen. There's definitely a balance. That's what I'm writing a book about. And that's what I want to coach people. Ultimately, that's something I really enjoy. And I think that's a skill that the world really needs right now. Yeah, so that's what I've been working on. Talking has led me down some pretty awesome paths, and I want to keep doing it. And I want to share it with the world. I want other people to learn how to talk and have just as cool. Dude, you can really have so many adventures just listening to people. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. All right, so that's what I've been working on. This is not, when I'm not asking questions, there's like no, like, usually I find a thread to go through to the habits or like routine and then what you do for fun, but I'm just riffing. I don't even know. All right, but on to my habits. I would say I'm a very regimented or like routine based person. I would also say that I don't always do my habits all the time. In fact, lately, maybe even the past like month or two, maybe even, yeah, since December or something. Man, it's been shitty weather. I have not been getting out of bed early. I'll admit it. I've not been getting out of bed early. I used to be really good at getting up first alarm. I was just on it. Not been doing that. Not been getting up on the first alarm. Does kind of, yeah, it is kind of bleh. I wish I did that more, but hey, that happens. That's a part of it. That's a part of habits. Sometimes you have your ups and downs. Discipline is great. Sometimes it wanes, but just you can bring it back. That's the beauty of it. You can bring it back, which is what I'm doing right now. But yeah, I do have a pretty strict habits. So I wake up in the morning. Usually I will do some form of prayer or like meditation. I say, the thing is, I call it praying, but it really is like, it's like chanting meditation. It's not like I follow a specific religion and go through that kind of dogma. I have my own kind of set of chants that are more like mantras. They're like more to put myself in certain mindsets, I would say. But it is praying. So that's what I do in the morning, first thing, and then I go and journal. I religiously journal. That's, I would say those two are two things that I just, well, the third thing, gym. I've tried so many morning routines, like so many different things. Those three things are just things that I have to do or will not, I will just feel weird throughout the day. I have to journal to get my thoughts out. Honestly, if I could look back and read my journal, it's probably the same shit repeated over and over, the same little complaints, the same little things, which, you know, I'll do something about. But that's the beauty of journaling, is you can get those thoughts out so that they don't bug you the rest of the day. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but I look back on my journals from like 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, and it's like those cycles and loops that you go through are totally different. Like, you do evolve, and if they are the same, then you can really do something about it. So that's what I like journaling, because it's a way of etching down on paper my thoughts. This is how I'm feeling. This is how I'm thinking. Yeah, let me put it on there. And then the third one, gym, some form of workout. Even if it's just like, at one point, this is what I was doing. When I was really going ham on the book, I made it, my morning routine was just shaped around my 1 hour block of writing, which I could probably still do if I just woke up early. I could get my gym journal praying and then an hour of writing before work even starts. Yeah, waking up early is kind of the fucking best. I don't know why I've stopped doing this. Dude, seriously, wake up early. You have so much more time. Like, I go to bed early too. I don't know what I'm doing. Well, sleep is nice, but whatever. Okay. Back to the habits. Journaling, pretty awesome. Oh yeah, gym. Even if gym, like when I was doing this writing, I was my gym for a while. It wasn't, I would go to the gym after work or something like that, or maybe during lunch, but I would do like a 10 to 20 minute walk around my neighborhood, because a cheat code for writing, I don't know if any of you know this, or any creative pursuit, do like 10 to 15 to 20 minute walk before, and your brain is cleared. It's pretty awesome. So I would do that. I would wake up and I would immediately just go walk around my neighborhood, come back, and get to cracking. Yeah, so those are my morning habits. Those three are pretty solidified. What are some of the... Okay, I'll ask myself a question. What are some of the habits that I've tried that just didn't pan out? Oh, one that I do that's pretty helpful. I also drink water in the mornings. Again, could be better at that, but I think hydrating is another really important thing. What is not so helpful for me in the morning? I tried... Let's see. Wow, I really got to think of that. Because I feel like I've done a bunch of different stuff. Pretty much anything that's... I guess, like, anything that deters me from those big three, really. I mean, even that writing one... I like getting my writing done. Oh, that would be one. Probably trying to get any sort of like work that I said I'd do the night before that morning. Maybe I have like a meeting at 9 a.m. and I'm like, okay, I'll prep for that meeting at 8 or 7. Like, anytime I try to get some form of like some chunk of work that's really important done right as I wake up, it actually won't be my best. Like, I do need to hit that like hard reset through journaling and exercise. I mean, exercise, I even move throughout the day. Like, I don't have to exercise in the morning. That's like not even, that's why that one's like one of the big three that I have to do for my day. But I would say not even morning in the exercise, like it's really journaling and praying. Like, if I try to do stuff before that, it's just a little off. Like, I just feel a little off, especially if it's work. So I would say, like, as long as, even if I'm just like, I just journal for one page. Like, that's really all I do. That's all it takes. But that helps clear my mind so that any other task, maybe give myself like an hour to wake up and then I can get into work, especially if it's important stuff for the day. That's good. But it's just not something that I would, you know, if I had to etch my life in the perfect way, that's not something I would do. Yeah, maybe like, this one, interestingly enough, this one doesn't really work for me. But like pure breathing meditation in the morning, like right when I wake up, not the best. Like for me, because I feel like I'm just so sleepy and tired. Like I'm just not there. I mean, my thoughts are all bleh. Like, I don't know. I prefer doing some kind of mantra or chant because it gives me something to focus on. I guess breathing is something to focus on, but then it's so damn quiet. Yeah, that's all I got for that. I do have some nighttime habits that help. That's when I do the meditating. I have a very difficult time going to bed, so I meditate, like deep breathing in and out. Lately, it's just like, I'm trying to get into the habit, so I'm doing little micro steps. If I can do 10 of those breaths a night, I'm happy with myself. My goal is to get up to, you know, maybe 50 or 100, like 10 minutes worth, I guess. That'd be pretty sweet, like 10 to 15 minutes of breathing before bed. But I've noticed I have a really difficult time just like shutting my brain off before bed. could be because I use technology before bed. I try to cut it off at like 9, go to bed 9:30, 10-ish, but you know how that goes. It doesn't most of the time. But I try. Yeah, I'd say the breathing. Oh, and planning out my next day. Oh my God. If I don't do that, I am at a loss. See, that's okay. If we're going morning habits that are not good for me, it's me trying to plan out my day morning of. I got to do my to-dos like the night before. Maybe stuff pops up. Not the worst thing. But if I like sit there for 10, 15 minutes trying to plan out my day that morning, it's just not going to be as, like, there's not going to be as much oomph to it, like some strength that I'm just not going to be in it. If the night before, you know, I just had absolutely crushed it that day and had like so much momentum. You have your momentum from the day. Whether you had a shitty day and you're like, I didn't get this much done as I'd like, but now I have my to-dos for tomorrow. Or you had a really sick day and you're like, okay, I have a lot to do. Let's keep it going. Let's keep the ball moving. Like, it just helps to plan the night before, because morning of, it's like showing up to the gym not knowing what workouts you're going to do, and then you just pull up at the gym and you're like, huh, let me find a workout plan. Like, no, you got to show up to the gym with your workout plan so you're kind of more motivated and ready. I don't know if you've ever done that, if you've ever just shown up to the gym. And maybe you have a personal trainer, I don't know. But, like, if I were to just walk into the gym and then start Googling, like, workout plans for arms or something while I was there, that would simply not work. Yeah. All right. So plan my day the night before and do some breathing before bed. Those are probably the most helpful things. Some things I wish I did at night, definitely phone or screen off, probably at 8:30. That would be super dope. Probably read more. Read more is a good one. Yeah, I guess that's not too far off from what I'd like to do. Yeah, keep them simple. That's the other thing. If I had to give tips for people for their routines or anything, just like keep it simple. Make your routine like one or two things, maybe three. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be complex. It's really just, I don't know. It's not that deep. It's not that big of a deal. Just like your habits make up who you are. You don't have to be this fucking 20 step morning. I used to do that. I used to have like a morning routine where I was, this one didn't help. All right. So I would have to like, I would wake up. I would have to like journal for 30 minutes, work out for an hour, hour and a half, meditate for like 20 minutes. I would, after journal, then I would go write on like some blog post or some kind of other form of writing. And I would just like stack all these, make my breakfast and all, like stack all these different things. And it was just like, fucking, your morning's gone. You don't, like, your productive hours really, well, mine are in the morning. Like, if you're doing this morning routine that lasts till 11, what are you really doing with your day, you know? So, yeah, overdo it. Definitely just start little by little. And that's probably the biggest tip I would give anyone ever. And if you're doing something and you've actually given it a solid try, like let's say a month, and you don't like it, stop fucking doing it. If you don't like if you don't like doing something for your routine, don't fucking do it just because everyone online says it. Period. Done. Like, that one bothers me. Some people are like, oh, I've been doing this so much and like, I don't get it, but I'm gonna keep doing it because that's what, you know, Steve Jobs used to do every morning. It's like, yeah, that worked for Steve. Steve Jobs also spent a lot of time in India to clear his mind. Did you do that? No, because that maybe you did, but I don't know. Maybe that doesn't work for you. Maybe that wouldn't help you out. Steve Jobs used to take a bunch of acid, probably also to clear his mind. Does that work for you? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. What works for Steve doesn't probably work for you. You're a unique individual that can do your own habits, so make your own habits. That's what I say. And now, on to what I like to do for fun. The hobbies. So, when I started this show, there were three big hobbies that I had. I would always say, it was riding motorcycles, playing chess, and making music. Music in some form. My big three. Mind, body, spirit. You know, mind, chess, the body, your motorcycle, and spirit, music, poetic. I'd say I still do all those three things. Yeah, I would say they're all my creative outlets. The funny thing is I used to like study chess more. I was never like a pro or a tournament player or anything like that. But I definitely used to like read more chess books and like watch a bunch of YouTube videos to try to get better. That slowed down. My chess game has definitely slowed down because of it, but you know, that's okay. That's life. That's one of those things where I'm like, I feel like if this was something I was trying to make, then okay, let me dive into this. If it was, you know, fun also, like, I do enjoy it, but I'm not going to spend a lot of my time reading chess books. That shit hard, man. That shit is hard. But it is so much fun, and I do enjoy playing chess, and I probably play at least one game of chess a day. So yeah, if anyone wants to play chess, if you're on chess.com, Lee Chess, anything like that, hit me up, because I'll play you. Motorcycles, I've been riding for about a year and a few months. Had a motorcycle. I used to have a Ninja 400. It's funny, I'll throw the Carlos Fry episode in the show notes. I gotta do that. Cause he rides motorcycles, and we talked about that. And the funny thing is, he and I were talking about how I have a Ninja 400. I was like, I don't know if I should upgrade or what should I do. And he was like, man, just take that thing to the track, ride that thing, and like figure it out, and then go for a bigger bike, something like that. I think I got a bigger bike like between the time that episode came out, or between the time that we filmed that and that episode came out, I had bought another motorcycle. So I sold my Ninja 400. Now I have a Gixxer 600. That's GSXR, but they call him a Gixxer. If you know, you know. So that's the bike I ride. Definitely a sports bike fan. They are a bit speedy. I feel like sometimes, you know, maybe I should tone it down, get something else, not a fast bike. That thing was made for the track. You can feel it. You get on that thing and you feel it. It just wants to shoot forward at crazy speeds. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna save that for tracks. Well, I mean, it's not like I have motorcycle and money. Like, I don't have a car. I borrow my brother's car. So, this is my transportation. But, let's say I did sell a company, had a whole bunch of money, I'd probably buy, like a chillin' cruiser bike and then have this be my track bike. Not have it street insured, just, like, take that only for racetracks, try that out, and then have, like a cruiser to ride around. Probably not a Harley Davidson. I'm not really a Harley guy, but I digress. Really do like motorcycles. It's tons of fun. There's just like this great sense of freedom you get while you're riding on the freeway. The very first time I remember riding on the street, I was going down the street. I was about to get on the freeway. I was like turning right to go on the freeway. And if you know motorcycles, you know you kind of like lean when you turn, especially if it's a sharp one. I was going in, and then I had this very vivid realization of like, oh shit, I'm not wearing a seatbelt right now. Like, I'm about to go onto the freeway on a motorcycle where you're just, like, on a fast bike. And I was like, of all things, I'm not wearing a seatbelt. Like, what happens if I crash? Like, it was a little scary, but it was also, like, a freeing feeling of, like, every time you're on that thing, you got to do your best. You got to do a good job. And even sometimes your best, you got to do better than your best. You got to do someone else's best. You got to predict other people's mistakes because they probably don't see you. But that kind of stuff's fun, especially you'd think someone who's like ADHD all over the place like me would have a difficult time with paying attention. But I think that's one of the few times in my life where I like truly pay like full. I'm like fully there, like truly fully there, because all these things are going on at the same time. And it just like that, you know, mini chaos kind of soothes me in a weird way. And then music. So recently this has been the one that has taken the cake, that has really been taking up my time and effort. Because as of like New Year's, maybe mid-December or so, I've been playing bass in a band. And I joined this band. It was super serendipitous. Definitely the right way of serendipity. Shout out to the homie Kwaku, who taught me what serendipity is. But it was a very random, very happenstance, chance, nice occurrence, how I just kind of, I was jamming with friends. We needed a drummer. I asked my brother, who's a musician. He was like, oh, I got a drummer friend. And I was like, yo, you want to jam with us? And he was like, hey, man, I'm already in a band. Don't really have time for that, but we really need a bassist. We have a show in 2 weeks, and our bassist is gone. We don't have one. And I was like, oh, damn. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll play for the gig. Turns out I had to learn 30 songs in 2 weeks. Thankfully, this was like around Christmas time, so I felt like work was a little slow and I had time to like learn this stuff. Even then, I didn't even like spend too much. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't like difficult song. I wasn't learning Beethoven symphony on the bass, but I learned these songs, ended up playing, really liked the group, really liked the band, liked the similar music that I listened to that we play. That was like half originals, half covers. The covers were all songs I actually listened to. Their originals were great. And they just gave me like a lot of freedom to do what I wanted on the bass. Like there wasn't like a, oh, you have to do the bass line this way. They were like, no, we've been having like in and out bassists, man. So we made the lines really easy. Do what you want. Like, this is freedom. Here's the root notes. You have creative freedom for whatever. And I had tons of fun with it. Really liked this group. Really liked playing with them. And after that gig, they were like, okay, so in January, we have 9 shows. Care to help? And I was like, fuck it. Yeah. So I was kind of like one gig at a time. Let's see if I like this. And every single gig, I loved it more and fucking more. Like, I just loved so much fun. So this one's been taking a lot of time for me too, but in the best way possible. This hobby right here, like, I've been talking about hobbies. I do hobbies. I do a lot of like fun shit in my free time. Like, just this past weekend, I went to a watercolor paint and sip class with my girlfriend. I'm not even a painter. My painting was shit. It was so bad. But I did watercolor. Why not? I'm a big fan of trying a whole bunch of things. But having this, like, real, true hobby that, like, I'm with this group of people. Like, we have practice. We have shows. I got a show. When this episode comes out, I have a gig that night. And then I might even be opening for another band the next night, Saturdays, which is pretty nuts to me to think. Like, this band was already rolling. I got so lucky. They were rolling. They were looking for a bass player. I just wanted to jam. And I got my wish and more. So, now, been doing that. And what I'm getting at is, like, this helps me so much with my work and my life and everything that I do, because I just feel so, it just helps me feel balanced. It helps me feel like the motorcycling helps me feel free. Having this creative outlet on top of like the job that I do, like, it just feels good. And that's not to sit here and be like, I have it figured out, you should follow this formula. Like, no, I am so far from having it figured out. If only y'all knew. But at the same time, I feel like I'm just at the very least heading in the right direction. I'm taking the right steps. And to me, that's when I'm happy. Like, when I fall, when I crash or make my mistakes, I don't sit there and think, oh, fuck, like, pity me. Or maybe sometimes I do. But I don't sit there and ignore what just happened. I make it a true effort to be like, ow, that was a really big mistake. I'll use this as an example. So fairly recently, I was riding motorcycles with a friend, and I had a pretty bad accident. Not an accident where someone hit me or crashed or anything. I was on a sharp right-hand turn, took it too fast, slid out. I just fell on the ground. The bike slid under me. And I remember slamming my head on the asphalt. I was wearing gloves, but my hands were all cut up, which was really weird. And it like fucked up my back. Like, my back still kind of, I was like kind of deadlifting today and it showed up. I don't know. My back was bad. So this was on 250s. Like, we weren't on fast, crazy bikes. They were light. They were movable. I think I was just, like, whipping into the corner too far. And, yeah, I took a spill. I took a big spill. And I was really, really, really mad at myself for this spill. I was really in my head during the ride. I was upset that I fell. I was upset that I had to ride for another, like, 20, 30 minutes after falling, just to get back home, because I was visiting a friend. We were riding. It was like a 25, 30 mile per hour fall or whatever crash. But I look back on that experience and I am really thankful that it happened, because number one, they always tell you when you're riding motorcycles, there are two types of riders, the type of rider who hasn't been in an accident and the type of rider who has been in an accident, or no, it's the type of rider who has been in an accident or the type of rider who is going to be in an accident, something like that. I don't know. Basically, it happens to everyone. Everyone crashes. Everyone falls. Yeah. They, like, I felt like, oh my God, okay, it happened. Like, I was so terrified of this happening and I was going to lose all my limbs or something like that. And it happened and it was like, I mean, granted, it could have been far worse, could have been better, but at the same time, I'm still here. I feel fine. My back is almost 100%. Everything else feels pretty recovered. The bike is in good condition. The bike wasn't even scratched. We're good. We're chilling. But I didn't just ignore that. I didn't just stop riding. I actually took advice from someone else who told me on a different motorcycling mistake I made. He said, go to the exact same spot and do the same thing until you get confident doing it over and over again. And while this was visiting a friend, I can't go to the same, you know, turn and do the same turn on the same bike. I did, once I started feeling more comfortable riding and once I started, my back felt better, I got on my bike. I had this perfect right-hand turn around my house and I just went around and I practiced the same exact turn. I was practicing on different speeds, different lean angles, and I noticed the mistake that I made and I was like, wow, this is such a rookie mistake. Like, I know, for a second, I was like, I know better. I should have not been like so-and-so, again, kind of beating myself up. But then I look back and I'm like, yeah, but at least I came, number one, I didn't give up riding. I don't think I could. Number two, I wasn't like, well, that was a one-time thing. Like, let me go back to riding and just like keep riding hard and see what, like, whatever happens, happens on the next. No, I took an effort to go back to learn what happened and to make it through. I don't even know how we got here, but I think there's some kind of metaphor in life there where it's like, yeah, you're going to crash. Oh, I don't have it figured out. Yeah, I don't have it figured out. Of course not. Who does? Sometimes you get in an accident, but if you can, you know, go back, learn from your mistakes, figure out the mistake you made, to anyone who rides, what I did, it was target fixation. I was looking straight. I should have been looking to the right. I should have been looking into the curb, but instead I was looking God knows where, because my mind was God knows where. Yeah, but it was a silly mistake, and I remember the feeling of riding back on my bike, turning my head to the right, like all the way over as I was going into the next right-hand turn, and I was like, oh my God, that's what I did. I didn't turn my head. Again, anyone who rides, it's kind of like snowboarding, how you know if like your board goes wherever your eyes go. That's a lot like turns in riding. Like, you're really supposed, like an owl, you're supposed to turn your head over. But yeah, sometimes I crash, but I try to learn from my crashes. If I don't learn from my crashes, I don't know, the next one's probably gonna hurt way worse. So yeah, that's another way of saying I don't got it figured out, but I really like what I am doing. I really like the direction I'm taking. And if anyone wants to talk about what they're doing, yeah, reach out to me. My email is down in the show notes. If anyone has their, like, talk to me. Let me know, man. The email's there for a reason. Hit me up. I do have my own, I've spoken to enough people that about their habits and hobbies to know, at the very least, I could push someone in the right direction. I truly believe I could, especially on the habits part. Hobbies, it comes down to, like, what did you enjoy as a kid? And then just do that. I feel like music has always been in my life. In first grade, I did like a chess club or something. I don't know. But that came back around COVID. motorcycles. I wanted to ride when I was like a really little kid. Probably I thought my uncle was dope and he had a motorcycle and I just always wanted to give that a try. Then one day I found out that I could, you remember when cars, like a year or two ago, when used cars were so hot that everyone wanted used cars. And I found out through Carvana, which makes sense, they're out of business or something. I don't know, something bad happened to them. But I was like, how are they able to do this? I sold my car for more money than I bought it for. It was fucking nuts. But then I had this money, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy a motorcycle. I'm going to buy all the gear, get the courses, make it happen. Yeah, no, just look to what you liked as a kid, and you'll probably find your hobbies there. If you liked painting as a kid, maybe you like paint, maybe you like Play-Doh, just transfer to clay or something. I don't know, do sculpture. Do art. Just like, it's a lot easier to do hobbies than you'd think. I feel like a lot of people, and I'm saying this, me included, have a difficult time spending time with themselves. And that's really what a hobby is. Like, while I practice a lot with the band, most of my practicing is by myself. And it's therapeutic. I feel comfortable and at ease, and I would say comfortable with myself. I tend to challenge myself with the songs that I learn, so I wouldn't say I feel comfortable, like, this is easy. Usually there's, like, a lot of frustration with it, but it's, like, it can be, it can really soothe you. And, yeah, that's me. It's me in a nutshell. I don't know, I stopped doing video. Felt like that was so much work. But behind me, there's a bunch of books I also really like reading. I guess I will do the closing questions to myself. All right, what kind of music do I listen to? Oh, great question. Thanks for asking. What kind of music do I listen to? Funk. Funk is my favorite genre. That's a lot of what I play. That's why I got the bass. Honestly, I really like funk. I really like funk. I like classic rock. Indie rock, alternative rock, rock in general, blues rock. I love blues rock, actually. I fucking love the blues. Like, any type of blues is really good. From, like, classic rock, Led Zeppelin-y, early time blues, to early Black Keys. Like, we're talking, I'd say, like, alternative blues, but still got something in there. Maybe even every once in a while, like, my brothers and I will find some really good, like, OG swamp, like, Delta blues songs that we listen to, like deep in the bayou blues. That stuff's really good. But I mean, you know, I would listen to BB King and, like, all the, you know, all the classics. I really like blues. Really like rock, funk, indie. Another side of me is I really do like folk indie, like the kind of stuff that you would listen to when you're, like, walking barefoot in a meadow. Maybe you're wearing like a flowy shirt or something, you know what I'm talking about? Like, some, like, the Lumineers, you know. But the Lumineers are still, like, really more pop indie, but like more underground stuff of that, like, folk indie. Yeah, that's a good genre I really like. What else? I feel like I'm forgetting some genres. Yeah, I'm probably forgetting some genres, but that's a lot of the music I listen to. And with funk, I say 70s funk is my favorite genre, and disco too. Disco's up there, but I listen to a lot of modern funk. I don't know if you know Tuxedo. That's a really good group. Wolfpack. Wolfpack is fire. They're a very musical group. I like Wolfpack a lot. And then there's, like, a whole bunch of other stuff. Oh, and the genre I'm forgetting, because I feel like most of my guests don't listen to this, so we don't talk about it much, but rap. I listen to a shit ton of rap, whether it's, like, pop rap, whatever's going on, 80s or 90s rap, like, underground, back when SoundCloud rap, but, like, OG SoundCloud rap, like, back when, like, Ski Mask, the Slump God, and all that was, like, low-key in SoundCloud, like that kind of SoundCloud rap. That was a good time. That was probably like 2015, 2014. Yeah, like 2014 SoundCloud rap. That shit was good. I would listen to a lot of modern rap too. Don Toliver, you know, gotta represent Houston. That was a good group. Good guy. I don't know why I said group. Houston's a good, well, I guess like a good group of musicians. A lot of rappers came from Houston. Travis Scott, Don Toliver. Rest in peace, DJ Screw. All right, that's it for the music. What kind of movie, TV, or podcast recommendations do I have? Movies? I want to get into like actually sitting and watching more. I haven't watched a movie lately. Yeah, I'm actually kind of stretching to think of a movie rec I have. Because I do like movies, but I'm not, like, off the top of my head, I can't. I'm not going to go there. TV shows. Yeah, I've been kind of lacking on that front, too. Drive to Survive. The next season comes out, I think, next week, and I'm super fucking stoked about that. Drive to Survive is fucking dope. I really like that. And honestly, you know, if someone even steals this idea, I don't care, because I don't know how I'd make it happen. But I have, guys, I have this fantasy, this dream in my life to start this really dope company, right? That, well, that's a given. That's going to happen. But I'm saying, like, this fantasy to, as a business owner, maybe for, like, 5 years, you know, the first 5 years, or the first 2 years, 3 years, do this, like, Drive to Survive documentary on a startup founder, like, as they are starting their company from, like, zero, maybe even just zero to one. Like, that would be pretty cool. Just a documentary off of that. And have it be like in the style of Drive to Survive. Like you have the drama and like the intense heat of the moment, like these crazy board meetings or these crazy like things going on. But then also you have like little interviews with the employees as it's going. Like, I think that would be so much fun. For anyone who doesn't know Drive to Survive, it is the Formula One TV show on Netflix where, like, the coolest thing about Formula One is that there's only, like, 20 drivers in the world. That's it. There are only 20 Formula One drivers at the top league, and that's it. And there's 10 constructors, and you have a part. Like, there's two drivers per constructor, and this is one of the, like, random wild few sports where your teammate, you're actually actively competing against them. Your teammate is not your teammate. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. It's very complex. You got to watch. I mean, because sometimes, like, when you see, who was it? Not Carlos Sainz. Sergio Perez. Checo Perez, who is the teammate of Max Verstappen at Red Bull, pulled some super bro moves to put Max Verstappen in the lead one race. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, it was for one of the championships. Pretty insane. But it was very controversial, but Checo Perez ended up, yeah, be doing a teammate move. But there's like other times, some of Verstappen's other partners, where it was like they would just like try to beat him or like run him off the road. And you're just like, dude, we're on, like, yeah. Very interesting. Anyways, I digress. I think a startup like that, or a startup show, because how many people really see, like, truly see the beginnings of starting a company and like the real life beginnings? I mean, we have the Super Pumped, which I really liked, the Uber show, but I know it was like only kind of true. There is the story of WeWork. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen the Who's that bitch? Elizabeth Holmes. Terrible. Haven't seen that. How did she get all that money off of a fake product? I don't know. I don't know how these people scam. I don't know how Adam something something from WeWork scam. So much. There's no show that does that. I would really like to see that. Now, finally, what books am I reading right now? So I've been reading Build by Tony Fadell. This is pretty good. I really like this book. I think I'm going to put a pause on it and start another. Let me see. I'm either going to start Anti-Fragile, by Nassim Taleb or Stop Asking Questions by Andrew Warner, one of the best podcast hosts to ever live. Done 2,000 plus interviews, and his Stop Asking Questions is how to lead high impact interviews and learn anything from anyone. I think that would really help not just my podcasting, but my book, the book that I'm writing. So that would be, yeah, something that I'm going to do. Really like that idea. Yeah, but the reason I'm putting a pause, kind of what I learned about the morning routine is Build is a fantastic book. Like truly, it's I already, like the first chapter, I had so many quotes I pulled from it, from my little list of quotes. But at the same time, it feels like the lessons that are in that book right now are not for me right now, if that makes sense. Like I'm, like I know this book will come in handy at a certain point in my life, but right this second is not that point in my life. And it's just a book that I feel like I can't put to practice right now. So I would rather read something that I can actively work on every day and then do that rather than just reading this book just to say I read it and throwing it on the list, but not really using any of the lessons I learned. I don't think that would be a very useful use of my time. But yeah, that's me. That's me in a podcast. Said all this. Who knows if anyone will even listen, you know? Sometimes you just talk. I just talked for like 52 minutes straight. I'd probably go for another hour if I wanted to. That's how much I love talking, guys. But I'm not going to. Because my voice is getting tired. That's the only reason. But yeah, thanks for listening to this episode. I don't really know. How do I close it normally? Oh, me and the guests say bye and then there's always clapping. Yeah, call to action here. Here we go. Reach out to me on email for anything at all. If you listen to this podcast and you reach out to me on email, I'll make you a sticker. I'll make you a sticker with the Play Hard Podcast logo and then I'll mail it to you. Is that, that's probably not anything. Maybe I'll give you a free copy of the book. How about that? And a sticker. Free copy of the book and a sticker. If you email me, say what's up. I just want to know who listens. All right. Thanks for listening to this episode, this solo episode of the Play Hard Podcast. Work hard.